Grace and peace to you in God who invites us with all of our seeking and questions and wonder into this season. Amen. Amen. Our readings today are a study in contrast. We have the reading from Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve who are tempted by the serpent, and they give in and face the consequences of that temptation. And then we read from Matthew's gospel of Jesus being tempted by the devil and using his deep knowledge and understanding of scripture and his relationship with God to resist the temptation and stay true to God. These contrasting stories pose for us the question, who will we listen to? There are so many voices that seek our attention, TV and social media and friends and family. There's popular psychology and all of the experts, the doctors, the scientists, all that information that we have. We have scripture, we have church, we have news and fake news, and we have billboards. Everywhere we go, we're being inundated with voices and stuff and things that want our attention and our allegiance and to tell us what it means to live a good life, right? Which of these voices will catch our attention? Which of these voices will tell us how to live? And which ones will tell us who we are? Who will we listen to? In the Sunday school resources that came with our Lent resources, there was a game that I just thought was very good for us at all ages. In this game, you start with a series of cards that had the different voices that kids might hear in the course of a day. The voice of your mom, the voice of your teacher, the voice of a bully on the playground, the voice of someone on TikTok, the voice of a pastor, the voice of something that you read on your Facebook feed, all the different voices that might come to play in life. And the idea was to sort the cards, going through this activity together, to say which are the voices that are valuable that we listen to and which are the voices that are not valuable for us and not helpful. And I thought, well, that's a good practice for any of us in Lent. It really ties in with the reflection questions that we'll have throughout this week using this theme of who will we listen to. We can ask ourselves, maybe even writing down, what are all those voices that are vying for my attention? And which ones are life-giving for me and draw me deeper into my relationship with God and other people? And which ones are harmful for me? And for heaven's sake, how do we know the difference? We're also invited to remember that there are voices that we are not hearing. That there are minority voices, voices of people who are poor, voices of people who are LGBTQIA, people of color, that are not out there in that mainstream, that are not given the equal time. And God listens to those voices. God lifts up the needs of the people who are poor, who are homeless, who are hungry. And so how do we choose to tune in to listening to those voices that are not out there presenting themselves to us everywhere we go, but that we're going to have to look for and find to listen to? And so this question goes a little deeper. It's not just a matter of temptation, giving in to the things that we know are wrong. I know it's not a good idea to eat this entire half gallon of ice cream. I know it's not good to take things that aren't mine. I know it's not good to say mean things to people. And, you know, I try to learn to pause before I do those things, right? But it's more than just that temptation to things that we know are wrong. And it becomes a question of discernment. How do we recognize and choose what is life-giving? So we'll start with the story of Adam and Eve. When we see the first humans make a wrong choice about who to listen to. Now, for me, I've always thought that this story is not so much about a choice to disobey. Clearly they disobey, but why? The serpent comes and says to them, If you eat from this tree, the one that God told you not to eat from, you will become like God. I mean, isn't that really kind of what we'd all like? Is to be the one in control, to be the one who is in charge of things, or at least in charge of my little life and what's going to happen to me tomorrow and next year, and maybe my kids' lives too. Yeah, we would really like to be that one who's in. We resist that reality that we are creatures and we are dependent on God and we are not in charge. And so Adam and Eve decide that they, instead of trusting God, that they will decide to be like. Immediately, what happens is breaking in their relationships, right? Immediately, they are ashamed in front of one another because of their nakedness. They hide from God. When God comes to the garden, I love this image, God comes to walk with them in the garden, and they hide from God. And then when God confronts them immediately, what do? Blaming one another. She gave me the apple. The serpent did it, right? So when they step away from God and try to take that control for themselves, it breaks the relationships and the order of things. And I think that's why Lent begins with our Ash Wednesday reminder that you are dust. We resist that truth that we are finite creatures dependent on God, but Lent invites us to claim and live into that truth. I have a friend who is a chaplain out east, Pennsylvania, I think. She's a chaplain. We're Facebook friends for many years. And she wrote on Wednesday on her Facebook feed, "I've spent all day telling people two things that are true. You will die and God loves you." And one of the people in her Facebook feed responded, like, why would you tell people they're going to die? Like, what, you know, don't you want to tell people happy things that will make them smile? And, you know, so many people responded. But, like, that is what that Ash Wednesday and this season of Lent is about, is reminding us that we are finite and we are dependent on God. And that is a good thing because God's got us. God holds us in that dependence, which is exactly what Jesus does in the gospel story. He leans in to his dependence on God. First, let's remember that Jesus goes into the wilderness immediately after his baptism. So he has just been baptized and heard that voice of God that said, "This is my beloved son," right? So he has that moment. And then he goes in to the wilderness and he fasts for 40 days. I read something this week that said 40 days is the interval in scripture that's like a time of waiting before the moment of grace. I thought that was so cool. If you think of Noah and the flood and it rains for 40 days, or the Israelites in the wilderness and they wander for 40 days, it's this interval before this moment of grace. But for Jesus, he is tempted by the devil. And the devil comes and he offers all these things that sound good, right? You're hungry. You can make bread. Just make yourself some bread. But Jesus replies. And each time Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy, that scripture that is just all about that choice that we have to choose good, to choose life, to choose to follow, or to choose to go our own way. And notice that the devil quotes scripture to Jesus. Always important to remember, the quotations of scripture can come from any direction. But Jesus not only quotes it, but deeply understands what the scripture is saying about the relationship with God. And so when the devil says, "Make bread," Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." But let me read you a little more of that part of scripture. From Deuteronomy, "Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, and then by feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted with, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it's reminded of that moment of extreme grace and dependence of being in the wilderness, right? And having each day's food provided only for that day. You can't save it for tomorrow. Each day provided for by God. Jesus sees that what seems to be about bread is really about trusting God. And Reverend Danielle Schroyer writes about how this focus on trusting God continues through this story. When Jesus refuses to test God, it's because he already trusts God. And when he refuses the kind of loyalty that leads to worldly authority, it's because he knows that power is meant for connection and not for domination. Jesus knows all of this because he's been listening. Day after day, he dwells with his divine parent. He embodies the teachings he's received in the temple, on his mother's lap, in his father's shop. Jesus shows us what it looks like to walk in wisdom, to become adept at parsing out the many voices that call for our allegiance. And then Schroyer continues, if we are to be like Jesus, to follow Jesus, we must also begin by first listening to the voice of God at our center. This voice tells us above all and after it all that we are God's beloved. We too have come through the waters of baptism, named and claimed as beloved children of God. Each week we're invited to this table to be reminded of that love and presence, because it's not an easy thing to hold on to in this world, is it, friends? That I am a beloved child of God and you are a beloved child of God. And so each week we come back here to hear the word and come to the table and be reminded that that is who you are. That is the first and last voice. As we enter this Lenten season, our own 40 days, we're invited into a time of listening carefully and intently for God's voice among all the many voices. We can know God's voice because it invites us into trust and not control or fear. We can know God's voice because it seeks welcome and justice for all people, not division or hate or exclusion. We can know God's voice because it is always a voice of love, of hope, a voice that offers new life out of death and despair. Who will we listen to in this season of our lives? May it ever be God who holds us in steadfast love and mercy. Amen. Amen.